Good morning. I'm so happy to be here. I normally look out and say, I'm so happy you're here. Thank you very much. I'm so happy I'm here. You know, I talk about the fact that, you know, the Lord's Word is living and how that's what's so exciting, because we can read passages that are familiar to us and maybe have always been seen in one light, and then suddenly it has new meaning. And that's what's so wonderful about the Word, because it is living. And the Lord brought a scripture to my mind this morning that I thought, yep, that certainly applies, and it has a whole new meaning than it did in the past. And that's 1 Corinthians 10:12, where it says, you know, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. And for those of you who might be wondering, you know, you've heard I fell or I had an accident, whatever. Basically, the bottom line is I have low blood pressure, always have, and it's just one of those things where I thought I was standing firm. And the next thing I knew, I was opening my eyes and I was on my kitchen floor. So thank you for your prayers. They have meant so much to me. And it's an amazing thing how the Lord meets us in those times, you know, and how faithful He is. And truly, I believe He was right there in that fall. I believe He had His angels just covering my head, because to my knowledge, my head never hit the floor. And which I still can't quite figure out how that happened, because I basically keeled over backwards. And but I apparently did not hit my head, which I'm very, very thankful for. What I did want to tell you is that this week is the last week that you'll be meeting with your small group. Next week will be the last week of this study, which is an amazing thought to me in itself. And so what we're going to do next week is, instead of going to small groups, we're going to have, you know, special treats, muffins and fruit brought in, and we'll just have a lot of time where we will fellowship together as a group. So just wanted you to know that. Also, a special prayer request this week for the small groups when you go. Many of you know Jana McDonald. She is just a sweet, sweet gal in our body, and one of the leaders for our small groups, and she's just sweet as can be. And her daughter Lindy had surgery yesterday, and it's a tough deal, and she's going through a hard time. So if you would all just pray for God's touch upon her, and to give Janet and her husband Duncan the peace, the strength that these next days are going to require from them. I just thought it is sweet that to think of all of us being able to pray for Lindy, and I know that you will. If you would like, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. As I say, it amazes me to think that we're actually coming to the end of this. And that was one of the things that was so exasperating to me when I first fell, was just the thought of, oh my goodness, you know, because just two teachings left, and I couldn't bear the thought of not being able to finish the study. So I'm very, very thankful for the Lord covering that for me and making it possible for me to be back. And yet at the same time, I have talked to you gals about the wonderful women that the Lord has placed in my life. And you got to hear two of them while I was gone. You know, that Judy could literally, the morning of my accident, just step in and give an incredible teaching. And then that the next week, Elisa was able to take that place as well. And I just loved that, because it wasn't like for even a moment I had the thought of, oh no, what's going to happen? You know, there was never that thought even for a moment, because we have wonderful women here at AFI. And I am so grateful, and I've said this to you before, but I'm so grateful for the ones that the Lord has just brought to be such a wonderful support to me. And to know they're just there, for literally a call away, you know. So very, very thankful. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And this morning we're going to be looking at that last phrase, always perseveres. I've loved going through 1 Corinthians 13. For me, it has really been every single week just an exciting revelation as the Lord has shown me the things that he would have me to share with you. And always the thing that blesses me is, you know, I'm really the one who's on the receiving end first to hear what it is that he wants to share. And every single week, I just feel like he has added yet another dimension, a deeper understanding of his love and just how wonderful that love is. We have to remember, you know, it was because of his love that Jesus came to earth as man. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so when Jesus came, he knew why he was coming. You know, we think of in Genesis when we read about that God would walk in the garden with Adam. You know, what a lovely, peaceful, serene picture that would, you know, bring to our minds. That was before the fall. After the fall, Jesus came knowing that it wouldn't be that peaceful, serene picture of walking in the garden. He knew he would be ridiculed. He knew that he would be rejected. He knew that he would suffer. And that ultimately he would die on the cross. Born to die. An amazing thought that he loved us so much that he would do that. It says in Isaiah 50, verse 7, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. Jesus set his face like flint, always, always heading for the cross, always knowing that was the ultimate purpose he came. And that is something that to me is, we can't even fathom that. But he knew it always. And it was his love that always perseveres that had him set his face like flint and constantly move in the direction of that cross. I think it's so important for all of us to remember that whatever the Lord allows or does in our lives is always motivated by his love. You know, and it's one thing we can readily accept that and see it even and rejoice in it when things in our lives are going well. You know, we praise God and thank him for how good he is, for his blessings in our lives, and we're so grateful, we're so aware of his love. But how do we feel when things are not going our way, when hard things do come? It's interesting because our tendency is to think that something is going wrong. You know, as if life is supposed to be easy. I think a lot of us don't even realize that's a belief system in its own, and we don't even necessarily know that it's lurking there within us. But whenever things are going wrong, whether for ourselves or for someone else, and it even comes to our mind, you know, this is wrong. You know, what is this all about? You know, it shows we have a belief system that says life is supposed to be easy, or at least easier. And that's a belief system that we are to abandon. Because life isn't easy. And yes, when things are going well, when the blessings are flowing, when the provision is there, that is wonderful. And we should be rejoicing. We should be thanking the Lord. We should be so very, very grateful. But we shouldn't be surprised when things don't go that way and when the hard times do come. I thought if we really believed it, we would find ourselves nodding our heads enthusiastically, which we don't, when we read verses like James 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, that's not a verse that we, you know, read and go, yes, you know, or Romans 5, where Paul said, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. You know, we want to be mature and complete, as James says. We want that perseverance and character and hope that Paul talks about. But it's like there's this part of us that says, but I mean, is there another means to that end? And I was thinking of the old, I don't know if it's still on or not, the Price is Right program, you know, when they'd say, I'd like to see what's behind door number 2, Bob, you know. I mean, there's that part of us that, yes, we want these godly characteristics that come with maturity. But does it always have to come by way of these other things that can be so hard, that can be so difficult? And yet at the same time, we want to be women who have the love that always perseveres, the love that Jesus showed for us and toward us and shows us constantly. I am so grateful that the love of Jesus is in my life. And I know you're grateful that his love is in your life. That love doesn't waver. It's always the same. Hebrews says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We never have to wonder as we go to the Lord if he's in a good mood. You know, we don't have to fear Is he angry with me? Is he disappointed in me? Yesterday was a pretty bad day for me. I wonder if I let him down. I wonder if he's disappointed. We don't have to wonder that. We don't have to wonder if we have earned his favor. We have his favor. And that is so wonderful. And we have that favor because his love toward us always perseveres. It never changes. He doesn't get exasperated with us or frustrated with us. And I'm so thankful for that. What comes to your mind when you think about persevering love? I think we'd all have to agree that marriage, especially the long-term marriages, can be an incredible showcase for love that has persevered. I love seeing older couples. I love to observe them. You know, they normally have just this comfortable simpatico with each other. And when I look at them, I just wonder, you know, so what have you two been through in your lives? What are the hardships you've endured? What are the joys you've experienced? What are the victories that have been just over the top that have helped to make up for the defeats? Because you can know with every couple who has been married a long time, there have been all of those elements in their marriage. And I can get caught up in whether it's a couple I know or a couple I see sitting on a park bench. You know, I just love, and I find my mind always does that same thing. I just ponder, you know, what they've experienced to get them to that place. But no matter what they've been through, and maybe there are times that the marriage almost didn't make it, but they're still together. Their love persevered. And that always blesses me and touches me. I've told you about my friend Kareen in Southern Oregon, the one whose husband was gravely ill for the last 20 years of their marriage. When he had become so sick, he had emphysema, and when he had become so sick that he couldn't go to work anymore, the doctor sent him home, telling him that he probably had another 10 years to go. And that was being beyond having the strength to work. They had 7 children. They lived on a farm out in the Applegate. And between livestock and an amazing garden and a selfless spirit, Kareen worked constantly, long hours every single day to take care of her husband and her children and her home. She was such an amazing example to any who knew her. I didn't know her then, but had the blessing of getting to know her after that period of time in her life. And I would sit and talk to her and just ask her to tell me stories. She was is a very shy woman. And I would just say, so tell me some stories, and just one-on-one, that she could do. But I realized the stories she gave me were gems, treasures that I knew needed to be shared with other women. And she gave me permission to do so. And she's heard me tell many stories about her, and she has laughed and said, you know my life better than I do. But truly, she was a woman who just persevered in her love. There came a time when he walked upstairs to go to bed at the end of the day. And then when he got to the top of the stairs, he said to Corrine, "I'll not go down again." And at this point, it was that 10-year mark. And I'm sure that they anticipated that the end was very near. So Corrine's days were filled with taking care of Earl, taking care of her kids, taking care of the garden, the livestock, the home. She did canning. I mean, she was truly a Wonder Woman. She didn't even get to go to church in those days, for those years. And the only kind of social life she had was when friends might drop by just for a little visit. And those visits were a blessing to her. And she told the story about how one particular day, and at this time, Earl was dealing with depression, as you can imagine. And she was downstairs, he was up in their room, and she was downstairs and some women had come by and they just had a little visit, but it was a blessing to her, an encouragement to her, you know, and they laughed and just had a good visit. And after that visit, she went back upstairs and he was totally out of sorts because he could hear their laughing and he couldn't handle it. And he said to her, "They will not come again." And she said that she felt this reaction just welling up in her and she thought, "I've got to get out of this room before I say something I know I will regret." And as she went out of the room and started walking down the stairs, feeling just so upset within herself, she heard the Lord speak a phrase to her. And the words were, "This can be defeated with love." And she could not even imagine how that would be possible. But she purposed, "All right, I will make every effort to just do the loving thing." And she said that the Lord showed her so many little ways that she could show him her love. She said things like, you know, he'd be sitting in the chair while she made the bed. And as she said, she might be in the middle of making the bed, and she would just walk over to him and kiss him on his forehead and say, "I sure do love you." And initially, that wasn't even really received well by him. I don't know how many of you have dealt with people who are depressed, or maybe you've had it yourself, know what it's like. It's like a wall goes up around that person, and they can't even receive the love and the joy that people might want to give them. But instead of being offended, instead of being hurt, her love for her husband persevered. And she continued to do those things. And eventually, but it was months, months later, he came out of that depression. And he lived another 10 years. I remember asking her to share this with young women down at the Applegate once, and I'm just watching their faces while she's sharing the story. And when she shares about that persevering love, especially after he had told her that she couldn't have friends come over, when he was rebuffing her love, and yet she was seeking every opportunity to just show him love. To see the look on these young women with something else. And so I opened it up for them to ask her questions if they wanted to afterwards. And one girl raised her hand and innocently, really, said to her, "But I mean, that must have been so hard when you kept trying to do these loving things and he didn't even receive it, you know. I mean, how long would you have been willing to go on like that?" And the look on Corrine's face was just kind of like, you know, I mean, she could hardly understand the question. And her answer was, I guess it just never occurred to me that there would come a time that I would stop. That is love that perseveres. See, our love tends to be so me-centered, doesn't it? You know, we love, but we love and expect to get. And so many things that we do supposedly in love, really, we're looking for the reward that we get as a result of it. You know, how it pays us back. Her love persevered. And what an incredible example of persevering love she has given for me to share, to be blessed by, but to share year after year after year. I saw her the last time I went down to Medford. I said, "Corrine, I'm still sharing your stories." And she just thinks it's funny. You know, she just laughs and thinks it's funny. But she is still the same incredible woman. And the Lord has blessed everyone who has known her. So we probably all, you know of marriages that have weathered incredible testings, hardships, maybe not to the degree that Corrine experienced. But they are a wonderful showcase for persevering love. And can we think of the Lord's persevering love without thinking of the people who would run as fast as they can in the opposite direction of that love? The prodigals. It's hard to believe, hard to understand, isn't it? How a person would actually run from that love. And yet, it's not a quiet walking away, because the Lord's love perseveres. And so, it does require basically a running away to try to escape it. And I know every single one of us in this room have a prodigal in our lives somewhere. Could be a parent, could be a friend, could be some family member, a husband, a child. How grateful I am for the Lord's persevering love to me in the years that I did not acknowledge him, in the years where I didn't look to him, didn't turn to him, didn't call out to him. His love was there even when I would have said I wasn't so sure that he was even there. Because his love perseveres. And I'm so grateful that he pursued me. And for those of you who might not know, we're not talking about 1 or 2 years, we're talking about 16 years. 16 years that were important years in my life. 16 years where, you know, major life-changing decisions were made. Marriage. I had 4 children in those years. Those children were growing up, not hearing about the Lord, but being filled with humanistic thinking. And yet the Lord's love persevered. Left to myself, I'd still be on that detour. But God, it wasn't me who decided, oh, I think I'll come back to the Lord, you know. It was his love. Remember I've shared the hymn that I loved so much that I could never hear for a long, long time without it bringing tears. Oh, love that will not let me go. When I came back to the Lord, that hymn would undo me every time I sang it. That was his persevering love. I was going in the opposite direction. His love would not let me go. And I thank him so much for that. That's the love we want to love with, isn't it? And it's not the way we're made. You and I don't have that kind of love. And so always the reminder, this isn't about us, you know, making our love better. It's not going to happen. It's about recognizing that the source of that love indwells us. And he wants to love through us. And it's possible if we would open our hearts to him to a greater degree every day, every hour of our lives, and to let him have his way and love through us. What about the times in our lives where we're doing everything we think we're supposed to be doing? We're walking in obedience to the Lord as far as we are able. We might even be where we are convinced is the exact place he has told us that we are to be, and yet things go awry. In those times, do we think he has failed us? Do we think he has been looking the other way? Do we question whether we heard him correctly? I was thinking of Elizabeth Elliot. You know, and there she was as a young bride with an infant daughter, Valerie, living in Ecuador with her husband, who with four other missionaries had been praying and planning, strategizing for years about taking the gospel to the Auca Indians. And they really had prayerfully considered every step of how this was going to happen. And yet, when they went in to minister to those Indians, their motives were misunderstood by the Indians. And all five of them were speared to death. How do you think those wives must have felt? Where was God's persevering love in that moment? Do you think they wondered? They were so sure that they were doing exactly what God wanted them to do. And see, we can ponder that and try to figure that out, but you know what? That's where we're wise to just let God be God. We don't have to understand. We don't have to figure out. We don't have to defend God and in what he allows. And those women were able to walk with the Lord through that incredible time and to receive his love, which persevered in such a dark, painful time. Elizabeth and Valerie went and lived with that very tribe for a year. The very tribe who killed her husband. And then she went on for another 7 years to live with other tribes in Ecuador as well, with this little baby, this little girl, toddler. And what I've often marveled at is that her family back in the States, you know, I mean, as a mother and grandmother, all I could imagine is how I would feel. And I think everything in me, when I would have heard about that, would have said, get home, right, we're going to fly you home right now. I would have wanted my daughter and grandbaby home safe, you know. And the letter she wrote to Elizabeth was amazing. Basically telling her, you know, dear, of course we understand if you feel you have to stay there. We want what you want. We want what God wants. I mean, it was an incredible letting go and trusting the Lord. And that's what they did. That's an incredible story of how God's love persevered. I've told you about the fact that I grew up in a single-parent home. My mother worked long, hard hours. We were always financially strapped. It was all she was able to do to, and I'm sure she didn't always keep the bills paid. But that was her existence. She just worked long, hard hours. And unfortunately, she didn't even come to that personal relationship with the Lord until she was in her mid-50s. When she was in her 70s, she went through a period of time that lasted pretty long time, where she dealt with the depression. And she loved the Lord, but the Lord felt so far away to her. And she dealt with what so many Christians who deal with depression deal with, and that is guilt. You know, she would tell herself, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be feeling this way. And you can know any person who's a Christian who's dealing with depression and hears that is not God speaking to them. That is the accuser saying, you're a Christian. You shouldn't be feeling like this. The God we love and who loves us does not speak to his children that way. And instead, he keeps coming to us with his love that perseveres. And he wants us to hear it. He wants us to receive it. Well, she dealt with it, and I just kept praying for her. And one morning when I was reading the word, I was so excited because I felt I had turned to Romans and I felt that the Lord gave me a word that he told me that I was to share with her. And it just warmed my heart, and I called her up. And the minute she answered the phone, I noted that there was a difference in her voice. She sounded happy. And I said to her, Mom, I said, you know, I have a scripture that I really believe the Lord has given me for you, and I want to share it with you. And she interrupted me, and she said, oh, dear, I want to hear it. But first, let me get my Bible, because he gave me a scripture this morning that I want to share with you first. And I said, okay. So I waited. And she read, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And when she read this to me, her voice was full of joy. And we just marveled because she knew that morning nothing could separate her from the love of God. It went beyond what her feelings were telling her. He was there, and he loved her. Well, he really wanted her to have that verse that morning and had a backup plan, because that was the very verse he had given to me to share with her. On top of that, the next day was Mother's Day, and we went to church together. And at that time, I was going to a Baptist church. And on the back of the bulletin, they always had a scripture. And what do you suppose the scripture was? We looked at that and just marveled. That is God's love that always perseveres. And it doesn't matter whether we're aware of it. It doesn't matter whether we're seeking it. It's who he is. It's not about us. You know, I think it's kind of interesting that I didn't choose that as the verse to have for her epitaph. And yet, there was one other verse that just was so strong in my mind for her. I knew that that's what it had to be. And it's from 2 Timothy 4. It was the perfect verse for the closing of my mom's life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. She would never have claimed any great victories or accomplishments in her life. Her life had been a hard one. She had had a painful childhood, two broken marriages, many hard things. And yet, she had persevered. And I knew that was the perfect verse to give the testimony that she had. Nothing can separate us from his love. It's a love that perseveres. And I know that is how we want to love as well. May we yield ourselves to him so that his love is evidenced in our lives. Let's pray. And Father, I thank you so much for your love that does persevere. And every single one of us here has been and is on the receiving end of that love, Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you for all of us who have been prodigals, Lord. We rejoice in the fact that when we were running the other way, you didn't turn your back on us, but pursued us with your love. And it didn't have a time frame on it. You just kept wooing us to yourself until we came back. And Lord, I pray that as we would remember that ourselves, we would think of those in our lives that perhaps we've shed many tears for, who have left your love, who have purposed to walk in the different direction from all you would have for them. And Lord, may we not weary in praying for them, but at the same time, may we be encouraged to know, Lord, that your love perseveres. Your love hasn't altered for them. You're not disgusted with them. You died for them. And for every sin that they have or are committing, you've paid the price, and your persevering love would win them back. That's what we count on. That's what we pray for. And Lord, some of us might be going through hard times right now, trials that just seem to have no relief. You have purpose in everything you allow in our lives, Lord, and everything you allow, everything you do, is motivated by that love that perseveres. So forgive us when we treat trials as if they're intruders, when we should really treat them as friends. Because you would have those very trials help us to get to know you better, to love you more, and to consciously receive that love that perseveres. Have your way in our lives, Lord. Fill us afresh with yourself this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.